Welcome to the Newman Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Thanks, you can take your seat. What an awesome day. This is the day the Lord has made, right? I will rejoice and be glad in it. And Dave Hickman's rejoicing Essendon beat Port Adelaide. Hallelujah, you've returned from the wilderness, I believe. Essendon fans, God bless you. West Coast Eagles play the Dockers today. Not that any of you care, but I'm excited for that. I love AFL. I love all sport other than cricket, golf. Sorry, my apologies. But it is a good day, and I'm excited, honoured to bring the word. I feel so excited. I feel such an anticipation in my spirit for what God wants to do today. Even as I was preparing, I felt such a sense of Him with me. And when I woke up this morning, I thought, oh, this is going to be a great day. God is going to move. He's already moving, as Pastor Cherie said. And you know what? She is the real deal. She is one of our executive pastors here, but week before, I think it was, I came out of a meeting and she was standing on a chair cleaning all of our windows in the offices upstairs because she said, they've been bothering me for so long, I'm going to do something about this. And so she went and got the cleaning things and she made sure that our windows looked better than they ever have before. She got out the tea tree oil. She... Well done, Pastor Cherie. We love you. You are awesome. So a few years ago, I actually shared this a number of weeks ago, but a few years ago, I began increasing, I guess, my prophetic language with the Lord, and I would have a word for the year. I hadn't done that before, but I really felt like the Lord invited me into that as a way of kind of expanding the way that He was speaking to me. And it was very apt. Each word that I had for that year was very apt for what was to come. And so I thought, okay, this is good. And then we came into 2025 and I didn't feel like I had a word when we started the year. And I thought, okay, maybe it's over and we'll just move on to something else. And about 3 days in, I felt the Lord say to me, your word for 2025 is faith. And I thought, how can that be a word? My life is a life of faith. I just couldn't find one, so I just grabbed, you know, the first word I thought of. But it persisted. And the Lord started to speak to me and He says, I want you to explore this concept, this reality of faith a little bit more. I want you to test it out. I want you to walk around in it, if you like. I want you to investigate how it works for you, your understanding of it, and what areas of your life might lack faith and why. And I also found myself feeling a little bit anxious because I thought, why am I going to need so much faith for 2025? But I don't know yet. We'll see. But nevertheless, I thought, okay, I'm going to be faithful to this. I'm going to sit with, Hebrews chapter 11 for a while. I'm going to meditate on that. I'm going to have a conversation with you, Lord, around Hebrews chapter 11. And obviously that chapter gives us a description of faith, and it also gives us this inspirational list of people whose faith was an example to us. And you might be familiar with the definition that we have in Hebrews 11, which says, now faith is the substance, or another translation might say the assurance. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the evidence or conviction of things unseen. So what this verse is saying is that there is a foundational reality or an assurance of faith. Our faith is based on something that has substance. And as people of faith, that substance is demonstrated or evidenced through our lives, through the way that we live. Now, in the New Testament, that word for evidence also relates to the work of the Holy Spirit. And so we who are people of faith are standing on an unseen yet a very real foundation of substance. And through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we evidence what is an unseen reality in a way that can be seen and experienced by us and others. So faith is like the bridge that links our lived experience with the unseen reality or substance of the kingdom. And the whole thing is fueled by the Holy Spirit, who continues to point us to Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension, which is the substance of our faith, and affirms the actions we take, the life we live by faith through the presence of the spiritual gifts and signs, wonders, and miracles. What an amazing way to live, right? Life with Christ is more rewarding, more rich, more exciting than any other way you could possibly live. Amen. That was a resounding amen, I hope. You know, another way of saying this, maybe just a simpler way to say this, is that faith looks like something. Faith looks like something. James, actually, he goes hard after this, and he says, faith without works is dead. Faith has to have some sort of outward expression. And you know what? Sometimes that outward expression actually just looks like having a quiet trust, just being peaceful, having peace in a time of turmoil. Sometimes it's more obvious. It looks like declaration. It looks like courage. It looks like boldness or confidence. It looks like movement towards something you cannot yet see, but you are hoping for. And this morning, I want to unpack one of those outward expressions of faith that we see a lot, particularly in the book of Acts. Now, as Pentecostals, we're like, yes, that's our favorite book, the book of Acts. Let's go for it. But we also see it in other people's lives recorded for us throughout the Bible. And this outward expression of faith that we're going to consider this morning is referred to as supernatural boldness. Boldness. All throughout our scripture in the lives of believers since, boldness has been what has changed the course of history. In the New Testament, the believers were bold in the proclamation of the gospel, bold enough to walk up to a beggar at the Gate Beautiful and say, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. Get up and walk. Stephen was bold when he confronted the Pharisees and gave his testimony and basically confronted them about the way that they had crucified the Messiah. Barnabas was bold when he said, you know what, I choose you, Paul, who not so long ago was actually Saul. I choose you to be my ministry partner. And Paul was often very bold, bold enough to worship at the top of his lungs in prison, bold enough to give his testimony in front of a Roman court, and bold in other ways, like in Athens, when he debated the philosophers and the great thinkers of the day and demonstrated to them, you know what, actually, true wisdom is found only in Christ. You think you are wise? Well, I tell you that unless you have Christ, you in fact are not wise at all. That was bold. Every one of those actions actually required faith. And they were standing on the substance of an unseen reality or truth. And then through the work of the Holy Spirit, they boldly acted. They boldly spoke, preached, sang, debated, and built a bridge between the unseen realm of the kingdom and that of earth. And the result was the church was not only birthed, but it flourished and multiplied and continues to this very day. Thank you, Jesus. You know what? I think boldness is something that we should continually pursue as those who have been called to steward the revelation of Christ in our generation. If there is one thing that the church needs today, it is boldness, fueled by the Holy Spirit and anchored in the substance of faith. And so we're going to unpack a couple of stories, and I want to show you how the kingdom breaks in on the back of bold decisions made by people who sometimes felt very bold and at others just decided to build a bridge by faith to access the supernatural resource or the substance that was available to them in Christ. So let's turn to Acts chapter 14, and we're going to read from verse 1. It says, "In Iconium, they," which is Paul and Barnabas, "entered the synagogue of the Jews together and spoke in such a manner that a large number of people believed, both of Jews and of Greeks. But the Jews who disbelieved stirred up the minds," it's really interesting, where is the battleground? It's in the mind. "Stirred up the mind of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brethren." So Paul and Barnabas are carrying out an assignment that they have been given by God. And they are trying to reach these people who had become embittered against them. This language here is very strong. It's very, very strong language. The meaning of that word is actually the intent to do harm, to inflict misery. That's pretty in-your-face opposition that they're having here. There was great animosity towards who they were and what they were doing. And so there was a very real threat of physical harm. Now, let's imagine you get a call from Paul or Barnabas at this time. I don't know how they'd call you, like through pigeon or something, but let's just go with it. They had phones, okay, in my imagination. You get a call and they relay you this information. You would be forgiven for saying, "Well, you know what? You've done your best. You did all that you can, but under those circumstances, I think you should move on before you get hurt, before someone actually physically hurts you." But the thing is, that kind of advice is based on the inverse equation when it comes to faith. Because if they were to leave based on the circumstance alone, unless the Lord told them to, but if they were to leave based on circumstance, that action would be based on what they can see and not on who they know God to be and the assignment that He has given them. Can we agree? God doesn't give assignments based on the ease in which it might come to pass. I'm sorry to tell you, but He just doesn't. He gives assignments based on seeing His kingdom come and His will being done in a world that is sometimes hostile to His message. And He chooses people who are bold enough to say, "Use me, God, use me." People who say, "I might not feel qualified, I might feel weak and insignificant, but I know that You qualify the called. And in my weakness, You are made strong. And all You need is my yes, and the Holy Spirit will come rushing in like a flood to accomplish that which He has purposed." He chooses people who make decisions based on who He is, what He is doing, and not on what they can just merely see or how comfortable or not they may be. And so my first point is boldness is anchored in a faith that knows God is who He says He is and will do what He says He will do. Paul and Barnabas teach us this here because what they do next, oh my goodness, it's actually hilarious. But what they do next could only be the result of supernatural boldness that springs up from their faith in who God is and in what He said He will do. Verse 3 tells us, so this has just happened. There's people that are embittered against them, want to do them harm. And so they say, therefore, they spent a long time there. They say, you know what? Let's stay here a while. It's time to settle into this city because God has called us to something and so far we haven't seen it. That right there is boldness, birthed out of faith. Now, sometimes boldness can look like arrogance, but the difference is arrogance is birthed out of self-reliance. But boldness rises from within people who know that their own strength is limited, but through faith, they have access to a supernatural strength because their God is a God of unlimited strength. And so verse 3, "Therefore, they spent a long time there speaking boldly with reliance upon the Lord, who was testifying to the word of his grace, granting that signs and wonders be done by their hands. There's the work of the Holy Spirit. So these men speak boldly, but only after making a decision by faith to do so. They didn't necessarily feel very bold at all, yet boldness was present in their preaching. How do I know they were preaching boldly by faith? Well, the text tells us. It says they spoke boldly, but with reliance upon the Lord. So you can almost imagine this like internal conversation. On the outside, they're boldly declaring, they're boldly preaching, they are speaking truth. But on the inside, they're praying, oh God, add your grace to what I'm saying. Add your grace to what I'm boldly declaring. And he does. Signs, wonders, and miracles are mediated through their hands just because they kept saying yes, even amid all of the threats. That is boldness anchored in faith. That's the kind of boldness the church needs to continue to have in our day. You and I need to continue to have if we are to see the assignments that God has given us come to pass. The next point, boldness is a gift given to faith-filled people who say yes to the purposes and intentions of God. Paul and Barnabas make this decision. We're going to stay right here. We're going to stay right here in this uncomfortable place and declare the truth of the gospel. And we're going to do it boldly, not relying on our feelings, not relying on what we can see, not swayed by the threats of others, but relying entirely upon the Lord. You see, God is attracted to that kind of faith. And so the word says he adds his grace to their boldness, and we see signs and wonders. You know, for some of you, you may feel as though you have been in a place of struggle. It's been uncomfortable. And the temptation is to recoil, is to step back and think, well, I've done all I can. But let me encourage you today, if you gave your yes to the Lord, to an assignment that he has given you, and it could be any number of things. Maybe it's praying for loved ones to come to Christ. Maybe it's kingdom breakthrough in your business, in your family, in your school. Maybe, you know, God has called you to be a missionary and you're just feeling a little bit discouraged. Whatever it is, let boldness rise in you again. Continue to say yes to the intentions of God over your life. Because if you haven't seen that which he has spoken to you, then it is not finished yet. God is looking for those who just keep saying yes and allow boldness and supernatural courage to rise in them. That attracts favor and the grace of God, and miracles become our normal. This is how I want to live. This is how I want to demonstrate his kingdom in my generation. Let's explore this just a little bit more. If we were to go back to Acts chapter 4, there's this story that I referred to a little bit earlier where Peter and John, they go into the temple, and as they pass through, they see this beggar begging at the gate, and they reach out their hand and say, silver and gold, we don't have. What we have, we give to you. Get up and walk. And this man is healed. It's an incredible miracle. And after this miracle, the man who is healed is obviously celebrating. He is ecstatic. But nobody else in the temple is very happy about what has happened. And so Peter and John are brought before the council, and they are persecuted and they are mocked and they are intimidated because of what they have done. And then the council says, you are not allowed to preach this gospel anymore, or else there's going to be harm that comes upon you. What do you think happens? Well, I tell you what they don't do. They don't say, well, even though Jesus has told us to go into the world and make disciples and we're seeing the Holy Spirit move powerfully through our ministry, well, those guys, they're also pretty powerful and they could hurt us, so we better stop. They don't do that, obviously. No, after they are released from this interrogation, the first place Peter goes to is actually a prayer meeting. And he walks straight into the prayer meeting. I mean, there's all sorts of other things that happen there, including people praying for their release and then Peter's release, and they're like, oh, it must be his angel. It's like, no, actually, your prayers have been answered. But Peter walks straight in and he gives them a report about what has happened. You know, he probably says, we saw amazing miracles and then we were threatened and told we can never preach again. But here I am, and can I pray something now? They're like, sure, Peter, like this is amazing. Here you are, pray. And this is what he says in verse 29. He says, and now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your servants may speak your word with all boldness, while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, I think God liked the prayer, because the place where they had gathered together was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. God, begin to shake our rooms again as we pray these bold, audacious prayers that we may speak your word with all boldness. Holy Spirit, shake us again. Peter says, Lord, you've heard the threats that they just made against us. Now allow us to speak your word with all boldness. Peter is basically saying, God, all that stuff that you did in and through us that caused this intense persecution, well, we're asking, increase that on us. Give us some more. That's next level asking right there. I'm challenged by this. It's like, do I pray in the same way? It's like, if I have to make a decision, or, you know, we're planning an event or we're believing for salvation, so I say, Lord, clear the way. Make it very clear. Get rid of all obstacles. Give me a sign. Give me several signs. Give me so many open doors. Make the path clear. Or do we pray, God, you've called us to something and we're going to be brave and take hold of it. And we know that there may be opposition and we may have to fight, but grant us boldness so that we continue to push into the breakthrough that you have promised us. That kind of prayer taps into something unseen, something that we cannot do in our own strength. That is living with the belief that God is who he says he is and will do what he says he will do. You know, there's prophetic words over Pneuma Church all up and down these hallways. If God has said it and we have given him our yes, then we should also say, God, would you do it through us? Let us see it in our generation. Grant us the boldness to declare it will be yes and amen in our time. Let us turn to the book of Romans and what Paul says here. In chapter 15, verse 18, he says, I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed. And verse 19, this is how Paul interprets the mighty words and deeds. By the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God. What's Paul saying? He's basically saying, I only want to do things and dream of things, plan for things and ask for things that require the power of God to succeed. For Paul, the evidence of the true message of the gospel being preached is that the powers of darkness are confronted, people get free, bodies are healed, marriages are restored, businesses become prosperous. And we have been called to ask for the same. Let your kingdom come. That's the breakthrough that we are after. That is who we are called to be and what we are called to steward. But to see those things, guess what? There might be opposition that we face. And so we have to ask for boldness. God, give us boldness that we can continue that pursuit, because we have seen something in the Spirit and we are moving towards it by faith in Jesus' name. Let me just add one more layer to this. And we're going to look at a different story. And this time it's in the Old Testament. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 14. And it's a story of Jonathan and his armor bearer. And they're out for a walk and they look up onto this ridge and they see the Philistine army, the enemy of Israel, camped up there on the ridge. Now, keep in mind, it's just Jonathan and his armor bearer. Two men look up and they see an entire army. And, you know, this is actually quite humorous because Jonathan looks at his armor bearer and he says, you know what? I think we can take them. And the armor bearer looks up at the army and then looks back at Jonathan and says, yeah, me too. And so my next point is boldness makes risk look logical. Faith is spelled R-I-S-K. This is actually quite comical because maybe the only possible edge that two guys would have over an entire army would be the element of surprise. Let's surprise them and see what happens. You would think they may say, well, in comparison to them, we're slightly limited in our resource. They're stronger. They're in a better position. They've been there longer. There's a lot more of them. What can we do? Well, maybe the only thing we can do is, you know, jump up from behind and surprise them. Is that what they do? No, it is not what they do. Jonathan says, I've got an idea. Let's go out there into the opening of the field until they see us. And once they have seen us, if they say, stay right there, we want to come down and talk to you, then we'll stay here. But if they say, come up here, then we know God has given them into our hands. This is a ridiculous military strategy. No element of surprise. And think about it, they have to crawl up on their hands and knees up to the top of a ridge, up to the top of this hill. And it's so steep, but it's the only way they can get up there. Now, as they are crawling up, the army at the top would be counting. One, two. One, two. There's two of them coming up here. It's hilarious. But I have to wonder, what is God going to do? What does he think about this? I think he looks down on them and says, oh, look at their boldness. That's faith. That is faith right there. They are building a bridge that is tapping into an unseen resource of power. You've got to love them. They're taking the worst possible approach to this situation. But they have asked for a miracle and they are being bold in their pursuit. So here's the grace that you need. You know, I think he's probably done that with me many times. It's like, oh, look at how she's trying to go about that. But she's doing it by faith and she's being really brave. So maybe her boldness could be a result of her breakthrough. What happens for Jonathan? Well, they get to the top and the angel of the Lord turns up and it knocks down the entire army. And not only that, it would appear that the angel actually held them down. And they are so overwhelmed, Jonathan and his armor bearer are so overwhelmed that the armor bearer forgets what his job is, which is to hand the equipment to the soldier, and instead he just takes the sword and kills them all. Verse 13, then Jonathan climbed up on his hands and feet with his armor bearer behind him, and they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer put some to death after him, and there was a trembling in the camp, in the field and among all the people. Even the garrison and the raiders trembled and the earth quaked so that it became a great trembling. This is a story of two men and their boldness who had the tenacity to crawl up the side of a hill into what should have been their assassination. But they chose to believe in the power of God despite all the circumstances stacked against them, despite the fact that they could see their enemy, and they even knew that they were very outnumbered. And as a result of that, they became men who saw the power of God, and through their action of faith and boldness, they changed the course of history, actually for hundreds of people. Let me show you exactly how. This story begins to spread. What happens begins to be known beyond just the mountain. And the Philistine enemy hears that their people fell before Jonathan as he walked among the armor, and then the armor bearer killed them. All Jonathan did was stand before them and they fell down. That story spreads so rapidly that it leaves the mountaintop where they were. It goes into the fields where there were encampments of the Philistine army. and it makes it all the way back to the other side of Israel. Now, what happens next should ignite a passion within us all to take up the challenge, to continue to press on with the assignment God has given us, to be bold enough to ask for the greater things, for salvations, for miracles, and to do it with all the boldness and courage that we possibly can. Let's read verse 21. It says, "Now the Hebrews who were with the Philistines, who went up with them all around in the camp, even they turned to be with the Israelites who were with Saul and Jonathan." Now, don't miss this point here. What did we just read? There were Hebrews among the Philistine army. So these were people who once were followers of the God of Israel, but for some reason, they have now become part of the enemy's camp. Did you know that right now, all across our city and cities across this land, there are people who once confessed their faith in Jesus? And whether through personal failure, through offense, disappointment, hurt, questions that couldn't be answered, they now live as part of the enemy's camp. They've turned away from their faith in God. What if they began to hear stories of brave people who had supernatural boldness and were seeing signs and wonders in their midst? And by signs and wonders, I mean businesses prospering, restored marriages, healings, relationships, people who live prophetic lives, healings, signs, wonders, all of those things. What if people who once knew God heard the testimony of the things that were happening here at Pneuma Church and it stirred something in them, so much so that they have to respond in the same way that these Hebrews who were in the Philistine army did? My final point is the testimony of boldness awakens purpose and identity in others. Because when the story of the courage and boldness of these two men who knew who their God was and believed that he would do what he said he would do, when that started to filter through the Philistine camp, something happens. Now, picture this. These are Hebrews. These are Israelites who had been dressed like Philistines, who had talked like Philistines, who had worshipped Philistine gods, who had served in the army against Israel. They hear this report of these two courageous, bold men who had demonstrated supernatural boldness and saw something unlike anybody else had seen. Suddenly, this testimony of their boldness calls to something within them. It calls to something within these Hebrews living Philistine lives. It calls to their identity, who they truly were as they were hiding as Philistines. And all of a sudden, they can no longer stand there as Hebrews pretending to be somebody else. I've had the worship team join me on stage. And so they start to take off their Philistine army garments. They put aside their Philistine weapons and it's like they come to themselves and think, what am I doing? This is not who I am. What's happened? They've just heard a story of boldness and signs and wonders, and they start to abandon the position of fighting against the word of God. They make a beeline then. It says they then join the Israelite army to the front line of the battle so that they can begin to protect Israel again. Why? Just because they'd heard a story of boldness that was anchored in a faith which had a substance that they could no longer deny, and they too desired the one true God of Israel. Somehow that calls to them and their lives are changed. What if there are people in our community who are just longing to believe that what they once thought was true actually really is, and that there are people who are living it, and that there are people whose lives are built on a substance of something that is unseen, and yet the evidence of it is the Holy Spirit moving in and through them? What if they encounter you and they hear the gospel afresh, and yes, through preaching it, but also through boldness of the people who know that the Father has given them an assignment and they're continuing to pursue it even in the midst of less than ideal circumstances. You know, every one of you is called to be a history maker. But I want to speak into your hearts today, because I know that for many of you, your land of promise, what God has said he would do in and through you is occupied with threats and anxiety, intimidation, depression, hopelessness, relationship trouble, economic downturn. But I hear the Lord saying today, let boldness arise in you again. What if our asking was, God, look at this threat on my life. Would you give me boldness again? Would you give me courage and strength that is not my own, a strength that is anchored in the unseen realm that I believe I can access? Give me that dream again that needs your power to see it succeed. What could a company of those sorts of people who pray those sorts of prayers actually see in their generation? This is the God that we worship. This is the God that we serve. He has said things over your life, over your family's life, over this church, over this city, over this nation that are yet to come to pass. But he has seeded the reality of it in our hearts, and we need the boldness to ask again. God, do it. Do it through me. Do it. Give me the courage. Give me the boldness to speak your word, to pursue it again. God, look at the threat. I feel anxious. I feel intimidated. I can hear the threats. I sometimes struggle with comparison. I sometimes struggle with depression. I sometimes find myself stuck on just what I can see and the circumstances that feel a little bit more real to me than your kingdom. But God, nevertheless, would you just give me the boldness to believe again, to speak again, to stand again, to preach again, to declare again, to believe again that you are who you said you are and you will do what you said you will do. God, we are believing for revival. We are believing for a move of God in our land. And God, if it so be, let it start with me. And so God, I reach out my right hand to you. Isaiah 41 says, for I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not. I am the one who helps you. And so God, you've heard the threat of fear. You've heard the threat of anxiety. And I say, God, would you grant me all boldness to stand one more time, to believe one more time, to declare one more time, to pray one more time, to continue to push through into the breakthrough that you have promised over my life, over this church, over this city, over our nation. And then would you, as we stretch out our hands, God, would you affirm it through your Holy Spirit with signs and wonders and miracles? I feel the breakthrough power of God in this place this morning. Would you stand to your feet? And I just want to ask you, if you prophetically want to declare, God, would you give me the boldness again? Raise up your right hand, hold out your right hand right now. And Lord, I thank you that you are the God. You are the God who are with us. You never leave and you never forsake us. And you promised us that we would see your kingdom come if we would be so bold as to partner with your Holy Spirit. God, give us the dreams that we need your power to see succeed. And right now, Lord God, I thank you that you are awakening those things again. I thank you, God, that you are rushing in like a flood, and all fear and intimidation is ceasing right now in Jesus' name. I speak to you, spirit of Goliath, that is roaring at the hearts and spirits of people in this place, saying, who do you think you are? Well, I thank you, God, that we are people of the living God, of the one true God. And we thank you that we are people of your Holy Spirit. And God, as we pray so boldly again today, would you shake this place? Would you pour out your Spirit? Would you baptize us one more time, God? Fill us with your Holy Spirit again, that we may see signs and wonders and miracles in your kingdom come and your will be done. Now, with your right hand, I want you to place that on the person beside you and begin to pray for them. Begin to pray for a fresh impartation, a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. begin to declare fear, intimidation, opposition, any threat, any discouragement needs to fall away. I thank you, God, that you are the God who can turn anything around. I thank you, God, that you are the God of the breakthrough in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, you begin to pray like you want someone to pray for you. Holy Spirit, would you come down? Would you fall afresh? Hallelujah. This is who we are. This is who you have called us to be. We say yes. We continue to give you our yes in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.